Hi, this is Patrick Finley at the Chicago Sun-Times. Welcome to Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast. We've got a special episode for you guys today at the NFL owners' meetings this week. I sat down with Kevin Warren. He's the incoming Bears president and CEO who will start on April 17th. We talked sitting outside at the Arizona Biltmore, and we talked about what he's got in mind for the Bears. The stadium is the reason he was hired. He's going to try and push through the construction of the stadium in Arlington Heights. That's obviously a big topic for Bears fans. Roger Goodell himself said the other day when I asked him that he thinks the Bears owe it to their fans to explore Arlington Heights. So we'll talk to Kevin about that. We'll talk to him about what he thinks about Justin Fields, the Bears quarterback, about Ryan Poles, their new general manager. And he'll even talk a little bit about his background. You know, I've written about this before, but I think it's really interesting. He grew up in Tempe, Arizona, which is not far from the Biltmore. It's maybe 10, 15 miles away. And when he was, I believe, 11, he was riding his bike down the street and was hit by a car. You know, it left him in traction, it left him in a body cast, and it left him stuck in a bed for months on end. It also motivated him in a way that I think is obvious even now, you know, all these years later. He doesn't sleep very well, in part because, you know, when you spend, you know, your formative years laying flat on a bed, I don't think there's an appeal there. He's really, really motivated. And I think, you know, when he's told us about this in the past, but part of that motivation comes from realizing the value of the time that he has in front of him and not wanting to be stagnant in a way that he was forced to be stagnant by something really horrible that happened. So he's going to touch on that. That's a little bit of the backstory there. You know, when he got hit and that, you know, doctors told him that it was going to be really hard for him to do anything athletic again, but they suggested that he start swimming because that would be helpful. So he took some of the money he got in the insurance settlement from when he was hit and actually built a pool in his parents' backyard when he was a kid. I mean, just a, you know, middle school kid. So he built himself back up athletically by swimming in that pool, and he wound up playing basketball at Grand Canyon University, which is also here in the Phoenix area. So that's the Kevin Warren story. That's the backstory, at least. The rest of his story is very much yet to be told. When he starts next month, he's got, you know, a lot in front of him, namely, you know, trying to solve a stadium puzzle that has eluded the Bears for, you know, 50 years. If you know anything about the history of the team, they have flirted with suburban stadiums over and over again. This is as far as they've ever gotten, though. They closed on the 326 acres in Arlington Heights last month, and now they're exploring whether they want to put a stadium there. You know, he didn't, you know, there's a lot left for them to try and figure out, including, you know, tax structures, you know, how much money the Bears will receive from the state or from local municipalities. The Bears have said that they're not going to take any public money for the stadium. But they do want money for roads and drainage and for other things related to the ancillary parts of that development, which would be hotels, restaurants, bars, that sort of stuff. So there's a lot to figure out. There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of political schmoozing that needs to be done here. And the Bears think Kevin Warren's the guy to do it. But, you know, in what you're about to hear, we'll hear from Warren about lots of different stuff, not just the stadium, but what he sees the Bears as being as he gets ready to join them. So I hope you enjoy it, and thanks as always for listening. We will come back again in the coming weeks as the Bears prepare for the draft and prepare to take probably an offensive lineman with that first pick. Until then, I'm Patrick Finley. Here is our Kevin Warren interview. Here with Kevin Warren, the new president and CEO of the Bears. Well, I guess you are the president and CEO, but you get started, what, April 17th?
Yeah, my first formal day at Hallis Hall will be April 17th, and looking forward to it, and have been working on the transition since the press conference, so to make sure I can get up to speed.
What has that been like?
Good, productive. Yeah. I mean, I'm grateful to George McCaskin and Ted Phillips and Ryan Poles and, you know, everyone in the organization, so there's a... I just wanted to make sure that when I formally started on April 17th, that at least we had some of the items, you know, worked through from a transition standpoint. So there's a lot. I've been doing a lot of, you know, reading and preparation, but looking forward to get to work.
I was going to say, what goes into your average day kind of during the transition?
Yeah, average day is, you know, I still have a focus and a commitment to the Big Ten Conference, right. So I'm still working my long hours. I haven't had much sleep since January, so finishing up strong at the Big Ten Conference, but then also, you know, transitioning with the Bears. So it's something that I'm energized and excited about, and I feel very confident that when I walk in there on April 17th, we'll be up to speed and ready to go.
I remember you saying, I think last time we spoke, are you a 4 a.m. alarm?
I get up, yes. I'm very early person, and I started that. It was interesting. I think when I had my car accident, mm-hmm. I was hit by the car. It must have thrown my sleep rhythm off,
right.
And then I work construction, as I've told those stories. Had to be at work at 4 o'clock, so I've been used to getting up, and I just found it gives me my quiet time, my prayer time, my workout time. I can get all those things knocked out, and because during the day you don't have a lot of time for planning and reading and getting prepared. So I love the mornings.
Your accident was what, not 10 miles from where we're sitting,
yeah,
right,
probably
now?
Probably about 10 miles, yeah.
And we had talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. and I imagine when you're in bed that long, the appeal of bed may go away.
Yeah, it does.
Is that part of it, too?
Yeah, it does. I think that's a good point. And I think of laying flat, you know, goes away, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, being in traction. I was primarily that. That was all in the hospital.
Sure.
So I could kind of manage that a little bit better. The tough part about it was that body cast at home.
You were 11. I'm trying to think how old you were when it happened.
Yeah, you know, and it's tough. Your body's still growing, and that cast was uncomfortable. And it would be like having a cast like you have on your wrist or your ankle all the way on your entire body up to your chest and down your legs
and you're still growing at the time.
Oh, yeah,
so
a little kid.
You grow out of it.
Yeah,
so you grow out of
it. It got tight. I can tell you by the end of it, it was tight. I was so happy that day to be able to get that cut off. You know, I mean, even now, I think back, you know, about it, that I just think it was one of those ones, probably mentally, emotionally, you just have to grind through it. But there were many days that were very difficult.
You were riding your bike, got hit by a car.
Got hit by a car. A woman lost control of her car, ran up on the sidewalk. But I look at things always positively. I'm grateful that I didn't die.
Sure.
I mean, and probably had a greater than 50% chance to die.
Right.
And I think that's helped me to have a heart of gratitude and also always to prioritize. Everything's relative. I broke my wrist and other things associated with it, but that became minor, you know,
right.
because it's, you know, my femur was bigger and had some internal injuries, but it just seemed like it all kind of, you know, worked out, but it was a long road back.
And you wound up putting a pool in your backyard?
Yeah, settled in money and paid for a pool for the backyard, yeah. And I still to this day have to really focus on, like, the health and safety of my, like, back and my leg, because my right leg is a little shorter than my left from the accident, and so do a lot of stretching. I do cardio and weights every day, and a lot of deep tissue massage to keep things lined up, and so.
Do you ever go to the house?
The house where,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, I drive by, like, when I'm in town yeah. here, I'll go to the house I grew up in, I'll go to the scene of my accident,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go through the house that I spent the time in the bed to be able to look and see, because my bedroom was on the front of the house, to be able to say that's where it was.
We're sitting here at the Biltmore, which is a pretty nice spot.
Yeah,
President CEO of the charter franchise in the NFL. Do you allow yourself time to sit there and think about how far you've come from that horrible moment, even though, like I said, 10 miles down the road?
Yeah, I do. I think for not so much as, like, you know, look at me
right.
and ever, But I look at it as yes, this is truly, when I think about the grace of God, this epitomizes it right now. And I think it's also the other reason why you just got to keep pressing forward and pushing forward. Because there were some times early on that I was, you know, concerned. And I just, now every day, I just try to take advantage of my 1440, those 1,440 minutes every day, press forward, work hard, be diligent, be prepared, and realize life is long, and just to try to get a little bit better each and every day.
When George McCaskey introduced you last time we saw you, he talked about the new and fresh ideas that you were going to bring. How many of those have been developed already to this point? And is there any kind of obvious one or any preliminary one that that is going to steer you here in the next couple months?
I think the first thing is, you know, I'm doing one-on-one meetings with every employee. Right. And I'm starting those on April 17th, my first day.
How many employees are there?
I mean, you add up everyone, they're around 300, a little less than 300.
And you can give them 20, half hour, 20 minutes?
I mean, give them as much time as they need and need and want. But I have I'll be done by July 1st.
Okay.
And what I try to do is break it up and do... You know, it's anywhere from 4 to 5 a day, and so you can, you know, you knock through them pretty good, and so yeah, I mean, my goal is really to make sure I'm done by, I say July 1st, but my target is really by training camp,
okay,
is to make sure we're done, because going into the season, then I want to be able to, these new and fresh ideas as you're talking about, to be able to start putting those forth. So I'm excited, I'm energized for these meetings.
Do you have a sense of what you know and what you don't know yet, or does that come?
It's coming together. Yeah, I mean, just globally by, you know, being in the league and you know, going through the interview process, yes. But I think you really get a sense. That's why I'm so adamant about talking with our employees, is when you talk to the people. And I think the sooner we can get to transparent and honest conversations, the better off we'll be.
Right.
But I'm confident based upon some of the communication. And during our transition, I've had time enough to really start to dig into kind of what the future holds. I'm excited about these meetings.
How long does it take to make change, to make real change? Because, you know, if we're talking about, well, you'd like to talk to everybody by training camp, then do you start implementing some of your beliefs?
Yeah, I mean, I did this at the Big Ten, I did this at the Vikings. There's some things, there have been times that I have walked out of a meeting with an employee, and because I always ask them, if you were a member of ownership, or if you were in my position, what are the things that would be important? What do we need to do to build a championship culture? What is one thing that you need to be able to do your job better? There have been times, there was a woman at the Vikings, Sharon Lomar, who had been in our ticket office for 25 plus years. And, and I asked her a question, what does she need to do her job better? She talked about for the last almost decade, her paper folder, because she was in the ticket office, had was broken. And so it was always getting stuck. And she said that would help her to do her job better. And I think it was the next day we had to deliver to her.
New folder,
You know, so there are things. But I'm really looking forward to it, because I think there will be some items and issues. And I've seen employees that get so excited and energized when they can share something and then to see it come to life.
You guys closed on land in Arlington Heights.
Yep.
Now what?
I mean, now work is, we've got a lot of work to do. I mean, one good thing I learned a lot from my time in Minnesota, but one thing I learned was with the stadium project, it takes time. And then takes a lot of hard work and a lot of diligence and people to pull together. And now that we've closed on the land, that we have to continually, you know, proceed forward, make really good decisions. And the key is making progress. So now you can't do it overnight, but on the flip side of it, you can't have, you know, a mindset that people are just going to waste time. To waste time, time is really, you know, important. So we need to be diligent and to be able to, you know, work as we move forward. So I'm looking forward on the 17th to be able to get going to work.
What's the biggest challenge in front of you on that front?
I just think the there's many challenges, but I think one of the main challenges is to be able to articulate in a positive and professional manner the why.
Right.
You know, the I think that's one, and to make sure that this makes sense for everyone involved. You know, politicians.
Is this to the people of Arlington Heights? Is this to the Bears season ticket holders? Is this the
everyone.
Fans?
Everyone. I think everyone. I mean, I just understand it. And so I think it's really important on our stadium projects to be able to, you know, when I say storytelling, mm-hmm. is to be able to tell that, you know, that compelling story and provide tangible, you know, information. Right. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I've seen what it is. I've seen what a new stadium has done for communities. You mean, you look what is done to Minnesota. I mean, look what is done to Las Vegas. Look what is done to Los Angeles.
Right.
I mean, all these different cities. So we have plenty of exhibits to know that it works, and when you get it right, it makes a lot of sense. And what this brings to, you know, Arlington Heights, what it brings to the state of Illinois, what it brings to everyone, you know, involved. But I think the biggest thing is that we just need to be very methodical in our thought process.
I understand that when you were in escrow, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. That you couldn't publicly address any notion other than Arlington Heights. What is the status of downtown? There's a mayoral election coming up. Do you guys view that as having any impact on any negotiations downtown? Or is that still at all a possibility?
Nothing has changed from my press conference, and this is our focus.
Sure.
Our sole focus is Arlington Heights and you know, the land that we have purchased and closed on. I do look forward to meeting the new mayor. Mm-hmm. You know, once that happens, and which will be here, you know, sooner than you know, later. Just from a relationship building standpoint. But again, I mean, the focus, you know, has been and. Is Arlington Heights, and it's a great piece of land. It's a massive piece of land. And
326 acres.
Right. So we need to make sure that we continually, you know, spend the time and energy of doing things the right way and taking the right steps. But it's a great piece of property.
And when you meet that new mayor, will you say my priority is Arlington Heights?
Yeah, I mean, again, I look forward to the meeting him. But again, like I said, I don't think anything is. I mean, nothing has changed. I mean, our focus is Arlington Heights, and to remain focused. That is the sole focus of the Chicago Bears organization is to work with them, and like we've done up to this point, we have closed the land on the land now, and to start developing a plan that works.
How have you gotten to know Justin Fields?
I knew him from when his time at Ohio State, and. You know, being an outstanding student athlete there, and everything that he's done in a positive manner, and then now since I've accepted the job, I've had a chance to communicate with him. He's a talented young man, and not only physically but intellectually, he's a leader. I'm glad he's our quarterback, and I'm looking forward to working with him and having a great season.
Have you guys gone to dinner? Have you talked
phone? Yeah, I've talked with him and even in person. I've seen him at the, in person. But I look forward to having, dinner with him and some of our other players also, you know, once I'm formally there and once they get there for off-season workouts.
What could he mean for this franchise?
I think, you know, you just look at, you know, take the last 20 Super Bowl, you know, winners. I mean, all of them. And when you think back about it, they have a leader at that quarterback position. And some of them have, you know, larger statistics than others. But you have to have a leader at that position to be successful. And so I'm excited to have Justin Fields as a member of the Chicago Bears franchise and our quarterback.
You were the first Black Power 5 commissioner. Mm-hmm. Do you have an appreciation for what a successful Black quarterback in the city of Chicago could mean beyond the football field?
Yeah, I have an appreciation that what a successful quarterback in any city.
Yeah.
And I do believe, you know, sometime, fortunately or unfortunately, that so much of life is people do look at, you know, race. I've been accustomed, you know, to it. I've been the first of many things, first Black CEO in the NFL and Power 5 commissioner and in this role. I understand it. But I think the biggest thing I love about Chicago is that they love gritty, hardworking, you know, people who are capable, who come to work every single day and really look beyond color. Yeah. And so I know, you know, for me and for Justin, for anyone, any person of color. I think this is Chicago's greatest city in America. I'm so happy to be a a resident of Chicago, and to be there. My wife and I love it. We've enjoyed our time there, and really looking forward to a great tenure at the Chicago Bears.
As you've been transitioning in what was your role when the different draft pick trade scenarios came up? What was the back and forth with you and Ryan like?
I have communicated with George, mm-hmm. Ted, and Ryan literally daily since I accepted the job. Right. We're in constant communication with each other. I mean, as you know, Ryan runs our football operations department. He's done a fantastic job. I'm excited about working with him. I'm excited working with Coach Eberflus. But George, myself, Ryan, Ted, Coach, we're in constant communication. It's been that way since I accepted the job.
What was the first time you had heard of this potential iteration of the deal? And what was, and did you talk to Ryan about it directly?
Yeah, I don't remember when the first time. Yeah, we talk every day. Yeah. And so this is something that we communicate on every day. And the thing is exciting about it, we'll be like that as we go forward. And so it was great to work through a lot of those issues together. And we got a great team that we're building from a front office and ownership standpoint. I've really enjoyed working with George and Coach and Ryan and Ted, and I'm looking forward to an incredible relationship.
What was his level of enthusiasm in terms of what you guys got?
I think everyone appreciates Ryan's being very pragmatic and disciplined and organized. We got better as a football team this offseason. That's what you want to do. You want to get better every day, and so I think the individual players, but also the collective players that we've been able to add has helped to get us better. And there's more that there's more that we'll continually work on.
What have you learned about him that you didn't know when you took the job?
Nothing new, but to just reiterate it, he's smart. Yeah. He's intelligent. He's very thorough. He's detailed. He has a high IQ and a high EQ. Has a really good sense. He knows how to build rosters. I mean, and spent as many years as he did in Kansas City is always helpful. He's a winner. And just like he and I are from the same, cut out of the same cloth, is that we want to win championships, and we're going to do everything we possibly can. We've worked very well together, and I look forward to continually to work well together.
Do you see a little bit of yourself in him? You said cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, I just think that we're both very transparent communicators with each other. Right. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I had hoped for, mm-hmm. is that Ryan now, and I've gotten to the point with him where it seemed like I've known him for 20 years, that there's no like airs or pretentious or whatever. We're able to talk like we're college roommates, mm-hmm. and to be able to talk through issues and the thing, I felt that from the first day that I met him, is that when you have a common goal of really being a champion, mm-hmm. is that any personal issues or items, or they don't even raise to the point, because we have the common goal. We wake up with the common goal of what can we do to make the Chicago Bears the best franchise in all of pro football, and to have a person that has the same common goal. That's why I love working with George. That's why I love working with Coach. That's why Ted has been so helpful during this transition. Mm-hmm. And I've made my stance really clear. I'm here to be a champion. I'm here to lead to build the best stadium that has ever been even thought about. And to build an organization where people are energized to come to work every single day, and for us to make Miss McCaskey, the entire McCaskey family, and George Hallis proud.
That's ever been thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate your time. Thank you for everything.
Of course. All right.